Ah, thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Eh?
Yep.
So, today, we are finishing off our series. James, maybe we can pull, I forgot to do a sound check before, maybe we can pull it back a little bit, please. Thank you. Today we are looking at the very last chapter of the book of Hebrews, our very last sermon in the series. And I'm kind of sad because I really enjoyed going through. Hebrews is one of my favorite books. You know, I don't know about you, but if anybody ever says, what's your favorite book of the Bible? How can you pick one? You know? Well, today it's this one. Today, you know, tomorrow it may be another. But it has been really, really wonderful going through this book together. So what we're going to be looking at, as you can see on the screen, so let's read chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. So let's read those together. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every thing good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to him to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So this beautiful benediction or this beautiful blessing that we find in these two verses makes such a beautiful ending to the entire book, especially because of its focus on the importance of Jesus in God's grand design of restoring sinners to himself and restoring us to a life that is pleasing to him. It's just beautiful. There was one verse that... hang on, see if I can find it. It's escaping my memory right now, but maybe I'll remember at some point. Anyways, so there's a goal or there's an objective of being perfected, as these verses say, in every good work. After all, what's the use of running the race if we're not on the right road? Are you on the right road?
Amen.
Running the race? So this is a prayer of the writer of Hebrews for the Hebrew believers. And it really gives us a meaningful picture of Jesus Christ. It gives us a meaningful picture of God himself and also of us. So let's dive in with verse 20. So it says in verse 20 that God is the God of peace. And this means that God is the source of peace. And a person needs to be perfected in peace. We need to have peace, to experience peace day by day as we plow through this life with all of its trials, with all of its challenges, with all of its temptations. But it's pretty specific here that no one can have peace apart from God. For God is the source of peace. Peace is like the smile of God reflected on the soul of the believer. So if we will turn to God, we can experience peace no matter how much trouble and stress we find ourselves in. Whatever is swirling about us, we can experience peace. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, the God of peace can bring peace to our soul.
Amen.
I think that I've been reading through the book of Daniel over the last couple of weeks. That's another one of my favorites. No, I've got, I love it all. Beginning to end, front to back. and everything in between. What can I say? But I've been reading through the book of Daniel and his three buddies, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when you really take the time to go through that book, it's so evident that through all of the turmoil that Daniel found himself in, he had the peace of God. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. They had the choice to renounce their father, God. They had the choice to renounce God or death. But they knew. You know, if you look at the verses, they said, we may die, but we know that God. You know, they had such a deep, abiding faith, and Daniel as well. He, when the edict was given that there should be no God to be worshipped except for Darius towards the end of the book, and a law was made by the king, what did David or Daniel do? He knelt in front of his window, and three times a day he continued to pray to God. And he ended up in the lion's den. But you know what? He had a peace. And we find it time and time and time again in the scriptures. Followers of the Lord just had this immense peace that rested on them. And you know what? That isn't just for Bible people. It's for his people today. You can have the same peace resting on you. So what people have to do is turn their lives over to God. That's the bottom line. We need to turn our lives over to God. And once that happens, God plants the seed of peace within our soul. And that peace just continues to grow and grow and grow. In fact, the more a person waters and nourishes their relationship with God, the more the seed of God's peace takes over their life. You know what? You've heard it before. I think if I was going to have a hobby horse, that would be the hobby horse that I would have, that I bring to you continually. Nourish your relationship with God. Nourish your relationship with God. This is the point. God is the God of peace. So our only hope for peace is to come to God. God and God alone can give us perfect peace within our hearts. Anybody here want to have a little bit of peace in your heart?
Amen.
That's it? Anybody want to have a little bit of peace in your heart? Yeah, me too. Listen to Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14 and 27, peace, this is Jesus saying, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He gives peace. He is the Prince of Peace. We either believe it or we don't. Romans 8 and 6 says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Letting your sinful mind, your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You allow the Spirit of the living God to control your mind, you will live in peace. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. Nourish the relationship. Nourish it. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. Get involved in our connect groups. Have fellowship one with another. That's how we encourage one another, by being together. Amen? So secondly, in verse 20, we read that God is the God of resurrection and of life. Through the blood of the eternal covenant, he brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. He raised up Jesus from the dead. He had the power to raise up Christ and to give him a new life, a life of praise and glory that lasts forever. The point is amazing that our God is the God of resurrection and life. And if you turn to him, he will raise you up and give you a new life, a life of joy, a life of glory forever and ever. And if there is anything that we need, it is life, a life that will never end, a life that is eternal and that gives us the privilege of living with God forever and ever. Amen. We're talking like eternity here. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 18. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise up from their graves, God of the resurrection. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Then next in verse 20, verse 20 is jam-packed. We read that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He raised our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the one who shepherds his people. He shepherds each one of you. If you know him, he shepherds you. He's the one who guides. He's the one who provides. He's the one who protects. But Jesus has one trait that rises far above the traits of any other shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd who sacrificed his life for his sheep, and he did it willingly. Therefore, the sheep of God were saved. Their lives were saved, and they were given the glorious privilege of living forever in the eternal sheep pasture of God. It's a beautiful scene. Do you ever think about heaven? Do you ever think about heaven? I know life here consumes us. Work, kids, schedules, life. But we're told in the scriptures to maintain that focus on eternity. We're to be thinking of heaven. We're to be thinking of our eternal home. You know, he's gone to build a place for you. And sometimes I think about what that's going to look like. And then I think I'm going to be one of the gardeners in heaven. I think I'm going to be a gardener. And I just picture what that will look like. There's going to be flowers and colors there that don't even exist on this earth. You know, daydream a little bit. Think about heaven. Think about heaven. Listen, we all need guidance, we all need provision, we all need protection, and Jesus can give us all three of those things. But we also need deliverance from those nasty wolves of sin and death and judgment that can creep into the sheep pen. And Jesus, our great shepherd, he sacrificed his own life in order to provide that deliverance for us. The great shepherd, he became the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the world. Psalm 23, 1-2 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams." Actually, I'm going to read that psalm. It's a beautiful picture of the shepherd. Has anybody here ever read the book by A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23? Who's that by again? I got it. If you've not read that book, A Shepherd, it's an old book. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It is a must read. It is written by a shepherd. And it's a metaphor of who the Father is to us in that shepherding role over our lives. It goes through this psalm so beautifully, and it really helps us to be able to interpret and understand what the words mean for us as his sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever." I got quite a few people that are up there that we will get to see again one day, family, friends. 1 Peter 2 and 25 says this, "For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." So, in verse 21, it talks about the fact that God, the God of peace, equips us with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. So God perfects us in every good work. God has a will for every single one of us. He has a will. He has a desire or an intention for us individually and corporately to do something, to have something operating in our lives, to obtain a result for him. He has a will for each and every one of us. Each of you, personally, but also for us as a body. The will of God isn't perfected in us by our own works and efforts. I don't know about you, but sometimes I slip into that mode of, you know, you have giftings, you have abilities, you slip into that mode where you're just doing, 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 and then you realize, I can't do this on my own. You can't. You cannot do it on your own. We can try and try to work up the energy to do God's will, but we find that we will only fail. We may show initiative and a lot of activity, but our own human efforts just won't cut it. No matter what we do, we can never perfect ourselves. Our works and our efforts will eventually cease and they will pass away. The will of God can only be perfected in us by God himself. I know, it's a no-brainer. But God must work within us, stirring and energizing us and motivating us and activating us to do what is pleasing in his sight. We can We can do God's will only as he works within us and energizes us to do it. You cannot do it alone. So what determines the energy and power of God in our lives? It's the one thing, our walk and our fellowship with God. You cannot get away from it. You need to have an intimate relationship with him. I cannot stress, and you'll hear me say it umpteen times again. You cannot do it alone. If we walk in fellowship with God in his word and prayer, if we're trusting and depending on him, then he will stir us. He will give us the vim and the vigor, the energy, and he will give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the ideas and the creativity, the visions of what he wants done. You know, we're here for him. Man, you guys are so quiet today.
We are listening.
We're here for him. We're here for him. He has work for each one of us to do. And I know without a doubt that we miss many, many opportunities to be his mouthpiece. I know we do. Because if we were on track, if we were not missing opportunities, there would be people coming to Christ constantly. I think the major work that he has for every one of us, there's a myriad of things that we can be doing for him in whatever context he has planted us in for the season. But the number one mandate for each one of you and me is to tell people about Jesus. That is a work that he doesn't have to stir up in you. That is a work that he doesn't have to give you knowledge about. That is just his mandate, to bring people into the kingdom. So let me challenge you. When's the last time you had a conversation with somebody who didn't know Jesus yet and told them about Jesus? It's a challenge. I know. We're so conscious of being afraid to offend. Why? Why are we so conscious of that? Well, we can't talk about Jesus because we might offend that person. When you think about Christianity on this globe of ours today, Christians are the most persecuted people group on the planet. And I'm not talking about in North America. What we consider to be persecution is ridiculous. People are beaten, imprisoned, tortured, martyred. They never give up their faith. We are an offense. So I challenge you, develop a relationship with somebody. Build a trust. Allow that conversation to begin to percolate. I was talking to somebody the other day, and a believer who's working in a totally non-Christian environment. And that can be hard. I know. I know y'all are working in challenging situations. I mean, I have my office here. I'm in a little bubble, so I have to make intentional steps to get out into the community to be in contact with, hey, Where are you going? Goodbye. They left. Just like that. I guess I offended them. That's good. So anyways, this young person doesn't necessarily share their faith openly, but this person stands out like a sore thumb because their lifestyle, who they are, their character is so diametrically opposed to the way everybody else lives in that place, in that environment. So sometimes it's just a lifestyle evangelism thing, you know? Let Jesus be alive in your life. And that in itself will have an impact to people around you. So if we walk in fellowship with God, in His Word, prayer, trusting and depending on Him, He will stir and energize us and give us the knowledge, the wisdom, the ideas, the vision that we need to complete His work. It's not so much of our time, and it's not so much of our attention that God demands. It's not even all of our time, and it's not even all of our attention that He is asking for. He's just asking for us. He's asking for ourselves. And this is a prayer. The writer of the Hebrews prays that God's people will be perfected in every good work. I'm just going to read these verses again and just really read along with me and allow the words to impact you. They're rich. They're meaningful for you. They're power-packed for you. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, and that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you, you, people of God, with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:20-21. Says this, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And so that is what I want to pray into you this morning as we close this sermon, but also this series on the book of Hebrews. I want to let the glory for what He has done in these last months as we've gone through the book of Hebrews. I want these months of us treasuring Jesus and who He is to us. I just want to pray that into us today. Did you pick up on the words in verse 20? Through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The point of all of this is that Jesus receives the glory. Yes. Jesus receives the glory. That is the ultimate point of the book. It's the ultimate point of this whole Bible. It's the ultimate point of God's creation, the glory of Christ, and through Him, the Father. So I think that it's right for us at this moment to put some of His work on display this morning in our lives by asking you to come forward. And, you know, the Word of God that's preached in the power of the Spirit will have good effects on the children of God. Allow His Word to permeate your soul. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and if you could do that medley again of Agnus Dei and What a Beautiful Name. And I want us to come this morning. I want us to come to the altar. We're going to sing this song together. I want it to be an anthem. I want you to, as you sing these words, to allow your readiness to spring out of that sheep pen that you're in, to follow your shepherd and to purpose to do the work that He has for you. And I'm including myself as well. Allow Him to equip you. So let's come as the worship team begins to lead us in that. And let's just spend a time of worship around the altar as we finish off this beautiful book of Hebrews. And if you have specific, come on, everybody stand up. Everybody come forward. And let's just worship the King together.